Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The word of God.
Thanks be to God. Some years ago, on a retreat, I had the opportunity to talk to a gentleman who was thinking about going into one of the Catholic orders. He was thinking about becoming a Benedictine. And he was one of these seekers who apparently had had lots of experiences of people who he regarded as spiritual greats. And he told the story about one man. He didn't know much about the man, but apparently, according to this person, when this man was in the presence of God and was about his prayers and his meditation, he glowed. And I've always been kind of struck by that because, to the best of my knowledge, I've never glowed. And I always wondered what it was like to glow. Have any of you all ever glowed? The Southern girls glisten. I would like to glow, I guess, and maybe you would too, especially if God had anything to do with it. So I'm kind of a little envious of Moses and his experience of God, and I'm kind of envious of Peter, James, and John. Apparently, encountering God can be a pretty heady experience and maybe even changes your life, maybe even changes the way your face looks. Moses was apparently so incredibly overwhelming after his experiences with God that he had to put a veil over his face. And I think that's where I want to start today, talking about this encounter with God and this veil. At some point in Exodus, as Moses encounters God, and we're told that Moses comes to God face to face like a friend. But about 7 or 8 verses after that, there's a story about how God and Moses are conversing. And God says to Moses, "Moses, I cannot show you my face. Because if I showed you my face, you would die. So instead of that, I'm going to put you here in the cleft of this rock," which means a little crease. It's almost like a little place where Moses could sit. "And I'm going to put my hand upon your head, and I'm going to walk by you, and as I do, my hand will lift, and you can see me walking away. Because if you look at my face, you will die." And I've been wondering about that, because that was a belief that the the Jewish people had. To see the face of God was to encounter that which would just so incredibly overwhelm you that you would die. And as I began to think about the face of God and wanting to have an experience of God that made a difference, I began to get a little troubled, and I'll tell you why. Because here we have this story of Moses who if he saw the face of God, would die. And yet, when you read Scripture, there seems to be lots of ways that human beings can die. I mean, wasn't the command in the original in the garden that if you eat of the fruit, Adam and Eve, you will die? And wasn't that the argument that the snake made? Oh, you won't die. And what happened? They got cast out of the garden, which was kind of a death of itself, but they didn't lose their physical life. What's going on here? Well, there clearly is something between God and us that seems to hinder or veils God's face from us. We all have had that experience, perhaps, but we hear the story in the Bible, the story of God's reaching out to us. And if we pay attention to how God faces the people, we might begin to get a hint of what God is about. Moses had the privilege of seeing God walk away. Glory enough. We hear how others, the prophets and other followers of God, had experiences of God. Isaiah being called by God and having his mouth touched by the coal, the burning coal that purified him. Jeremiah, the young prophet, so attuned to God, so connected to God that God could say to him with such comfort and power, I knew you before you ever were born. You were chosen for what you are going to do. And as the story of the New Testament begins, we hear about Peter and James and John and all the disciples coming face to face with Jesus. This Jesus in human form, this Jesus of promise, this Jesus about whom so much was said as a baby, this Jesus who apparently was predicted, prophesied. And it seems like God's back may be turning back toward the people. Peter and James and John encountered Jesus in human form. To suggest that Peter, James, and John or any of the other disciples knew exactly who Jesus was and what Jesus' connection to God was and what that all meant would be foolish. When they did not understand, the Bible tells us over and over again that what we see perfectly clearly in the story as we read it today is not so clear to them as they encountered Jesus in the body face to face. Even when Jesus asked them, who do you say I am? And Peter got the answer right, you are the Christ. He still got the meaning all wrong. Because no sooner had Jesus said to Peter that you got it right and this is what it means to be the Christ, I'm going to hang on a cross, I'm going to die, and I'm going to suffer for 3 days, and I'll be raised again. Peter goes, oh, no, you're not. Peter didn't get it. And truthfully, neither do we most of the time. 8 days later, they went to the top of the mountain. Jesus decided to go on retreat and take three of his best friends. And up on the mountain, we hear this story about how Moses and Elijah talk with Jesus and everything is transfigured. And boy, it is one big, wonderful experience. It is a mountaintop experience. It is a spiritual high. There's Peter, James, and John going, whoa! They still didn't get it. Hey, let's build a monument. Three tents, tabernacles. Let's put this moment in stone and remember it forever. Oh, wow, what an experience. This has got to be the best that God can do. I have seen God, and I will treasure this moment for the rest of my life. Everything clouds over. God says, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased, and it gets even better. And down they go from the mountain. Jesus has rebuked them. No temples, no building programs, no fundraising campaign, no advertisements, no plan of action. Just the experience. And Jesus says, don't tell anybody. Don't share this with anybody. This moment in the Bible, in the story of Jesus, is a critical moment. One of the Gospels tells us that Jesus turns his face to Jerusalem. That means that Jesus is on his journey to his final purpose. The story of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem is filled with more misunderstandings, more questions, more hints of who Jesus is. And still, when all is said and done, no one got it. He's examined. He's accused of being a false claimant. He's accused of claiming he's divine when he's not. And as the world so often will do, they will try to snuff out those things that threaten the world's comfort, the world's power, and the world's wealth. And they looked into the face of God and they said, we're not going to die, but you will. And then at the hands of those powers that live all too well today, they beat him, mocked him, and placed him on a cross, pounded the nails into his hands and feet, stuck him up on a cross, and God faced the people, and the people died. Surely, if one looks into the face of God, something, someone is going to die. If we are going to have the kind of experience of God that will make our face glow with delight and joy, it will only be through pondering and considering the agonizing and suffering death that is seen on the face of God's Son. And it is not always a comfortable and comforting thing to deal with. It is extremely painful. But one of the reasons why we see so little of God's grace and so few people glowing is that we are willing to cling on to so much of ourselves and refuse to let ourselves die so Christ may live. And that is over and over testified to by the words of Jesus in the Gospels. You who love your life in this time will lose it in the end. And you who hate your life in this time will gain it in the end. Jesus wasn't joking. And if this sounds like a Good Friday sermon, good. Because in each of us, there is some kind of veil, some kind of power that is withholding us from surrendering completely to this God who loves us so deeply. It really does seem like we don't understand what it means to die. We lock it in to this physical definition. And we say that we can't know God or see God until we die and go to heaven. When all the time, God is right here, waiting for us to see him now. Do you want to see God? Are you willing to put your life in his hands and let God examine your life? Are you willing to trust him with that which is most precious to you? Are you willing to trust God with that which you think you cannot live without? Are you willing to trust God with your deepest wounds? Are you willing to trust God with your most unanswerable questions? Are you willing to trust God with the most painful mistakes you've made in your life? Are you willing to trust God that there's a life for you beyond your own securities, your own needs, your own wants, your own desires, and that that life might be even than what we know now? If you want to have a Lent worth having, ask these questions. And if you want to work and have a God worth knowing, then look into the face of God on the cross and don't look away too quickly. And deal with what it is that keeps us from God today and would put God on that cross then and now. and examine it. And in the space that we open, painful though it might be, wound though it might feel like, the God that faces us, reaches out to us, who has prepared for us, who has made us, who loves us, who has a place for us to go, will fill us with His Spirit and love and make us new. That's a God worth knowing. And that will make our face glow, not only here but forever, to be filled with the Spirit of Christ, to truly know God in all God's depth and wonder, as much as we can, no part withheld. Let us pray.